I would invite you to the book of Galatians this morning. Praise the Lord again for the privilege we have to worship together as fellow believers in the kingdom of heaven. It's been a little longer between the times that I've preached here this last time. And it seems like the longer the time elapses between the time we study to preach, it gets a little difficult to get back into the, and this time was no exception. We've taken a little time to reflect and just find some of the Lord's workings in our lives, and then with the distraction of the activities of the weekend, the men's outing, and then also with the passing of my uncle, it's been a little hard to keep my focus. But the Lord's faithful. We're thankful that when we yield our capacities to Him, He uses it in ways that we are sometimes don't expect. And I trust Him this morning in His Spirit to reveal to you the heart of what I believe we're going to be looking at this morning. It will likely be, I will warn you, probably one of my shortest messages I've preached. But what I invite you to do is to attempt to get what really is the burden here of this subject or this message. I've entitled the message this morning just a simple title, Servant or Son? Servant or Son? I'll be reading the last three verses of Galatians 3. Galatians chapter 3. I'm sorry, the last four verses. The last four verses, and then the first seven verses of Galatians 4. Galatians 3, beginning in verse 26. For ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female, for ye are all one in Christ Jesus. And if ye be Christ's, then ye are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, differeth nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all, but is under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the Father. Even so we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because ye are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore, thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. These words penned by the, we believe, by the Apostle Paul break into this whole burden that the Apostle Paul is carrying for the church, the believers at Galatia. The struggle seemed to be this understanding of identity with who the believers were in Christ. Now, the first verse I read in verse 26 of chapter 3, "For ye are all children of God by faith in Christ Jesus," sets the foundation for everything else it sets the foundation for what I believe is the heart of this matter. We find our standing as children of the Father, of God, he says, by faith in not ourself, not a group of people or their actions, but in Jesus Christ. That's the foundation here that I believe that he's laying. Now, I think as we look at these verses that we just read, there is this idea of servant or son. And I believe we understand from reading in the New Testament that when we read the term son, we understand that as maybe a generic term for children of God. We could, it's not necessarily gender specific, male or female. And here he uses in this verse the term children. The Apostle Paul uses this discussion in his letter to distinguish between the realities of servanthood or sonship. Let's think a little bit about the difference between the concept of being a servant or a son, and we will get the gist of what I believe the Apostle Paul had as a burden of his heart for the believers here, what their struggle was. A servant or a slave, if we could say, is under the burden of obligation, duty, and service. The relationship of a servant to his master is based on expectations and performance. There are reasonable expectations and performances to be in that relationship. How is that different from sonship? Sonship, we understand, is by virtue of relationship to the Father. It is not an arrangement of performance. It is an arrangement because of adoption or birth. It is a relationship in that way. It is totally different than the idea of a servant-master relationship. There is the privilege that's to fulfill the will of the Father. In this relationship that the Apostle Paul draws our attention to here, he says that because of Christ, because we find ourselves as sons, because of Jesus, he sends the Spirit of Jesus into our hearts and confirms that our identity is a son, and we cry out, Abba, Father. We are now an heir, an equal shareholder to the inheritance. We are admitted to the kingdom of heaven and its privileges. It is different than servanthood in that we don't work for it. It is a privilege of our status in Him, in Christ, and the Spirit that is within us. Jesus, the one we place our faith in for that identity, came and took upon Him the form of a servant to fulfill the obligations of the law so that we could take the identity of sonship. What a beautiful thing is that He made that available to us, and our faith is rooted in that. He performed that perfectly. We all fall short. Now, I'd like to underscore the fact that as human beings, we are all destined. We are the sons of God. We are the children of God. However, having fallen short, because of the fall, the original sin, we, in a sense, lost the awareness of that sonship. And in a sense, we're innocent, as it says here, as children, before we came to the full realization of what God provided for us. Until Christ came, we were under the bondage. We were no different than a servant. I think of the idea, when I was reading through this, I was thinking of being in Belize with my dad, a missionary pastor there, and all of my friends were just the village children, you know, that would come around and we would play together. And I thought of this, that as I would play with them, I, you know, wasn't conscious in my mind that I was who I was. I was just one of the children, you know. And that's how it is when we are as youth or children. We don't think about our relationship or our status to our parents necessarily. We just take that for granted until we come to the realization that we are actually a son by virtue of our faith in Jesus. Now, it appears in this discourse or this letter to the Galatians. The Galatians believed in Christ by faith and became believers. And then there were those who came along and said, but now you have to do this and this and this according to the law to gain or to keep your status as children of God. And this really, I believe, was what the burden of the Apostle Paul had here in mind, is that this dynamic that when we consider ourselves by faith in Christ a son of God, it affects the way we act. It affects our outlook. But the possibility exists that we can revert back to the idea of do's and don'ts in gaining or keeping our salvation, our identity in Christ. The do's and don'ts of the law. Why was this so important to the Apostle Paul? I believe the Apostle Paul knew the battle we face in our hearts with the identity of being a servant or a son. At some point in our lives, even as believers, I believe, at least if you're like I am, I have struggled with this identity of servanthood or sonship. And why was it so important? Why is it so important to understand that? I believe that he understood and saw the power of our understanding, understanding our place as a son and an heir to, and an heir is directly connected to the way we will behave or act. He also understood the threat of the enemy to scam us from our sonship and back into servanthood to keep us from sharing in the inheritance as an heir. We might ask the question, is this relevant for us today? Is that we're not dealing with what was considered the Judaizers here, that were imposing the law on these new believers and saying, yes, you're saved, you can be saved in Christ, but you need to do this and this and this, and I'll add these things. I believe we do. If not, I don't believe verse 9 of chapter 4 would be written. I'll read it. Galatians 4, verse 9. But now, after that ye have known God, or are rather known of God, how turn ye again to the weak and beggarly elements, whereunto ye desire again to be in bondage? He asked the question. Is it not when we forget that we are privileged sons of the Father, and our status and our identity is in our Lord Jesus Christ and his relation to the Father? He sends the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, validating our identity and status as sons. Notice what he says in verse 7. Wherefore, thou art no more a servant, but a son. Understanding that we all naturally find ourselves as servants under the law, without God. However, when we place our faith and trust in Jesus Christ, it solidifies our place as a son and no longer as a servant. There's ownership, there's loyalty, there is identity, there is inheritance. We sing the song, from the door of an orphanage to the house of the king, no longer an outcast, a new song I sing. From rags unto riches, from the weak to the strong. I'm not worthy to be here, but praise God, I belong. Now the Apostle Paul is saying there's a possibility that we can get this turned around, that we go from riches to rags. Why, he says, would we want to do that when we've experienced sonship and the glory of belonging to the family of God? It is, I believe, when we lose our faith and our focus on the finished work of Jesus Christ for us. Because there's servanthood when we revert back to attempting to gain our salvation and our status as a son by servanthood. The temptation to base our sonship on our performance rather than putting our faith and trust in the perfection of Christ, fulfilling the law for us. Consider two examples from the New Testament. The prodigal son, the well-known account that Jesus gave. There were two sons, according to the account. The younger one asked his father for his inheritance prematurely before his death. He asked for his part, and he went out and spent his life on riotous living. Came to the end of that spending spree and found himself at the bottom. But in that situation, he remembered that his fathers had servants who were provided for better than he as a son. And so he got this idea that he would return to his father, which was a noble enough solution to his problem. But now, as he comes back to his father and is welcomed with open arms, he in his heart, assuming the status of a servant because of his actions, unworthy. And yet, the father looks at him and says, "That's my son." He restored the dignity of sonship and being an heir to belong. I believe the life of that young man and his relationship with his father was transformed from that moment on. He looked at his father in a completely different way than he did before. It is caught in the words of the Apostle Paul, where I believe what would have come out of that young man's life when his father embraced him, he couldn't have helped but say, "Abba, Father." The second example that we find is the status of a slave who had run away from his master. And in his running away, we don't know all the details, but in his running away, he met the Apostle Paul. And the Apostle Paul, in his relationship with him, somehow turned him to the faith in Christ and changed that young man's life and his trajectory. And the Apostle Paul helped him to see the identity that he has in Christ as a son now, and not as a servant. And then the Apostle Paul, referring to Onesimus as his son, his beloved son in the Lord, wrote to Onesimus's former boss, you could say, or master, appealing that he would receive him as a fellow son in the Lord, a brother, if you will. What a beautiful relationship. This idea of sonship transforms an outlook in our relationship with the Father, but not only that, it also transforms our relationship with each other in how we view each other. Notice where it says here that for as many of us as have been transformed and believed in the faith of Jesus Christ, it says, in Christ, look at the equality that he mentions here. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. So we're talking in Onesimus and his masters and Philemon's arrangement. There is not bond or free anymore. There's neither male nor female, for ye are all one in Christ Jesus, in the family of God. That's beautiful. That is really beautiful when we understand that. And when we can relate with each other in that dignified manner, that we consider each other as equals in the family of God. That's beautiful. And even we have the possibility to shine that identity and that we have the privilege as believers to enlighten those who have not come to faith yet, that this is God's possibility. This is God's desire. This is the Father's heart for you to be a part of this too. And that you are actually a son. You may not know it yet, but look at what he's provided for you through Jesus Christ. Yes, the amazing thing is that when we realize our identity as sons through Christ, it transforms our relationships with each other. We view each other with value and dignity, equal and co-heirs with Christ. I love the Phillips translation, and I will be reading these two verses in the Phillips translation, Galatians 4:31 and then 5 verse 1. It goes like this. So then, actually, I'd just like to read the last four verses of chapter 4 and then the first verse of chapter 5. And the verse 31 and verse 1 will be in the Phillips translation. But now we, brethren, as Isaac was, are children of the promise. But as then, he that was born after the flesh persecuted him that was born after the spirit, even so it is now. Nevertheless, what saith the scripture? Cast out the bondwoman and her son, for the son of the bondwoman shall not be heir with the son of the free woman. And now the translation. So then, my brothers, we are not to look upon ourselves as sons of the slave woman, but of the free, not sons of slavery under the law, but sons of freedom under grace. Plant your feet firmly, therefore, within the freedom that Christ has won for us, and do not let yourselves be caught in the shackles of slavery. How we think about ourselves will direct our outlook, and it will direct our behavior. Sons, slaves or sons, servants or heirs, bondage or privileged. My brother was adopted into our family at a young age. And when that legal process was done, it was as if the father said, "It is finished. You are now a son." My brother is no different than any of the rest of us in the family. He is a co-heir and equal. And it is not based on his performance. That is based on his on the legal action that was done by the father. And that's so beautiful. The question to us today, as far as our relevance, is our perspective or our relation to our Heavenly Father, one of duty and obligation or privilege and sonship? Those of you who can, I would invite you to kneel in prayer. Abba, Father, we thank you for the privilege to call you our Father. We thank you for the calling that you've given to us to walk, to come to you from darkness to light, from rags to riches, from servanthood to inheritance, to being an heir. Lord, it's just, we feel unworthy. We're just so grateful for the privilege to serve you, to be blessed as and provided for through Jesus Christ and faith in him. Lord, we confess that so often our eyes get distracted and we feel like it is whether we do this or that, or we feel obligation. And forgive us, Lord. We just pray that we would keep our eyes in the faith and the finished work of Christ, that we would be worthy in him and look forward and be blessed and walk in love, and especially that we would have the burden to bestow dignity and honor on those of our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ, as well as those outside of the faith, that we would be able to shine lights on their lives, that your light would shine through us and make a difference in their understanding of your desires for their hearts and lives. Lord, you've provided so great a salvation for us, and we want to be. As your son, your sons and daughters, active and doing the will of your of our Father in heaven, on earth, and fulfilling that in the best way we know, to allow your Spirit to direct our ways. Thank you so much for your goodness. In Jesus' name, amen.